the people too. I mess around. They're doing the mess around.
That's Ray Charles.
They're doing the mess around.
This is Ray Charles' first recording.
Yeah, I can tell the youth in his voice. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us that same number. That's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host, Sandy Williams, and we're talking about the accomplishments of Donald Trump during his presidency. And before we go back to the phone line, Sandy, a couple things. Trump shrank the food safety net a lot. Under Trump, the Agricultural Department scaled back the $60 billion supplemental nutritional assistance program, the food support program for low-income Americans, formerly known as food stamps. The administration said it wanted to cut back on the waste and save money within the program. The move in 2018, In 2018, the Agricultural Department introduced a new rule that aimed to more strictly enforce certain work mandates under the program, making it more difficult for states to seek waivers from SNAP work requirements for able-bodied adults who aren't caring for children or the dependents. The impact: 755,000 Americans have lost their access to food aid under SNAP, according to the USDA's own estimates. Now, hunger, and this is Feeding America. 50 million people in the United States face hunger, and this is for 2023, face hunger, including one in five children. Millions of people in the U.S. don't have enough food to eat or don't have access to healthy food. This is a big problem, but together we can solve it. So when we hear things like, well, Donald Trump did this for people who are hungry, and it, well, you know, wherever people get their information, they get it, Sandy. It doesn't always mean that it's accurate.
Well, I think the statement made was it said that 7 million people went off the rolls for right. getting food stamp, for getting SNAP assistance. But, you know, I think there's a backside to that as well, which you just described. You know, there are several main categories of conduct: trade, the tariff policy, backing out of the Trans-Pacific partnership, the backing out of the Iranian nuclear agreement, which was an international policy, not trade. You know, there's a variety of major events that occurred during his administration. That the trade policy is obviously controversial. He, in particular, deployed many tariffs, many of which are still in effect. And tariffs are inherently inflationary. And the fuse on that inflation undoubtedly had some impact. It was long enough to have impact in the Biden administration and contribute to the inflation experience then.
Let's go to Mike from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Mike. You say what, sir?
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. What a great format that you're doing today, and I certainly encourage more truth-seeking, if you will, as we go forward. Thank you very much for the opportunity. You know, a couple of the accomplishments, quote-unquote, that I have in the back of my mind is he's kind of – Trump has made it very difficult for the Central Americans and the people down in El Salvador and Ecuador and the migrants coming up to manage this program from their backyard, if you will. As I recall, Trump closed many of these, they're called like satellite immigration offices, at the origin, the country of origin. Those were established to help manage the flow and create some kind of sanity into this asylum program that we're entitled or we're bound to by law to participate in. So I would say one of the two of the accomplishments. One is he closed all those local immigration facilities that were meant to be a buffer between labor and, you know, into the United States. The second is another issue that is brought up and we're living today as a consequence, and that is, or we have lived as a consequence, and that is the Afghanistan departure. What we all know now is he closed at least five, I've heard as many as seven airports in the Afghanistan theater while negotiating an exit from Afghanistan without any other participants in it. In other words, he went lone wolf on this, negotiating the exit out of Afghanistan, and yet he closed all these airports to create, you know, this bottleneck for the one major airport. So the first two items that came to my mind, gentlemen, was he created two opportunities to fail and then politicize on the back end. And I wanted to find out what you thought about that and if you concur.
Hey, Mike, thank you very much for the call. Sandy, you want to respond to any of that?
Well, it's interesting. Foreign policy-wise, there's a great deal of talk. People will call in and say, well, we were safer under Trump than we are under Biden. And, you know, first of all, Trump did some things that were from the standpoint is a topic that other people respect. He withdrew based on the urging from Erdogan, the head of Turkey, who's a strong man, head of Turkey. He withdrew our troops from Syria and basically left our Kurdish allies high and dry to be in a very dangerous position. And we had used that alliance to help us in the battle against ISIS. The Kurds basically carried the battle for us against ISIS. And then we abandoned them, and it was a well-known thing, but it's never talked about. Then later, Trump carried out the assassination of Soleimani, a general, an Iranian general. And following that, in several days, was an attack launched by the Iranians on our base in Iraq with over 100 missiles, or many, many missiles at least, aimed at the two bases. 100 Americans were injured. They suffered traumatic brain injuries. And nothing was done about it, in spite of the fact that Trump now is jumping up and down about what kind of reaction there should have been to the Iranian attack on Israel. And Trump did nothing. So, I mean, you know, you can be peaceful if what you do is turn your back on insults and basically cozy up to autocrats around the world. But I'm not sure that that's being a tough guy. And I'm not sure that that's the result of a coherent foreign policy. And I think no one would accuse Donald Trump of having a coherent foreign policy.
Let's go to Gene from Eau Claire. Hey, Gene, thank you very much for the call. You say what?
You know, you have given us one of the most difficult tasks that I have ever given in my entire life. And I just am upset about this because I can't find nothing. Because I keep seeing the greatest crime of the century that was committed against me and everybody in our country as I watched the transfer of power when he lost, as I watched on the television, trying to watch, you know, when they count the Electoral College in the state of Wisconsin, because I watch every time there's a presidential election. And I couldn't get it because in the meantime, fake electors were in office. I mean, the greatest criminal of the century, and the crimes keep adding up. And I'm sorry, guys. I'm so depressed about this because every time I think I find something, I think of the kids in the cages who live and never did go back to their parents. I see them throwing paper towels at the people in Puerto Rico. I see them going after women, seeing their blood on their eyes. I see them putting in these Supreme Court justices. Hey, I'm so sorry, guys. I flunked. My first time at a F minus. Thank you for this awful task, and I'm a failure. So thank you for your time, and you have a good day.
Hey,
bye.
Jean, thank you. Thank you very much, Jean. Sam, you want to respond to any of that?
No, but I understand the sympathy, and I read a bunch of articles that were written by conservative people about the Trump years, and one of them in The Atlantic spent a number of pages listing the things that were accomplished under the Trump years. Many of them involved rolling back the regulatory world, rolling back regulations, which you can argue about whether that was a good impact or not. But in the end, this particular person addressed the character issues of Trump and the lack of coherence in his foreign policy, the lack of coherent policy, the lack of a business-like approach to government, the fact that there was chaos in the cabinet every day, the fact that the government was run like a reality show, and came down on the side of saying, we can't do that again. You know, this is going to destroy, his concern was it was going to destroy the Republican Party, which I think is, it might be in the process of doing, because the Republican Party has sort of turned itself inside out with the MAGA process.
844-967-2789 is the number. You can join the conversation as Sandy and I continue, you know, to talk about the accomplishments of then President Donald Trump and now candidate once again for President Donald Trump. 844-967-2789 is the number. We'll come back to you. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. And, you know, we're certainly doing what we said we would do this morning. And if you have been with us over the last couple of weeks, we talked about having Joe Biden and his accomplishments, and we listed those things and had dialogue, and we have been true to our word that we would follow up and do likewise with former President Donald Trump. That is what we are doing this morning. You are welcome to join us at 844-967-2789. Let's go to Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan. Thank you very much for the call. Your thoughts?
Good morning. Once again, great show. And I am happy that you brought up the Kurdish and Iran and Turkey, and what Trump's actual foreign policies, what he did to this country and how embarrassing this was. But I have just one more statement to make, and I'll let you turn it back to you guys because it's a great show. Gary, your white sheet is showing. And I think you never describe your friends, never by the color of their skin, if they're your true friends. And goodbye.
Hey, Susan, thank you very much, as always, for the call. You know, Sandy, there were some other things, I guess, that you wanted to list before we go back to the phone lines.
Well, yeah, there are some you know, these are not the kind of things that are they're trumpeting, but that's a, I guess, a pun. But, you know, Trump did affirmatively require hospitals to publish their charges, which could have been a very good policy. Unfortunately, it wasn't really enforced, and so it hasn't really happened. But it would be important, and so that was a movement in the right direction. But the government, well, I guess, wasn't organized to enforce it or chose not to. The criminal justice reforms that I mentioned in the beginning, relating primarily to what happens to felons when they're released from prison, was, I think, a positive. So, I mean, there were several things that I view as positive, but most of the things that would be listed by someone who is supporting Trump or Trump himself, most of the things that he would call accomplishments, I'm afraid would not be viewed as accomplishments if you look at them through the prism of Tom, Dick, and Mary, or through the prism of my eyes in terms of the concerns that it raises.
Well, let's drill down a little on the billions that he gave to farmers, because I don't think everybody's aware of the fact that Donald Trump gave billions of dollars to farmers, and, you know, and maybe that's why, one of the reasons why, you know, there's so many people in rural America who support him. I have to say, Sandy, that when those dollars went to farmers, farmers have been hurt by corporate farms that have basically devastated them. And so who's been behind corporate farms and corporate farmers?
Well, interestingly, a lot of this billions that went to farmers went to corporate farms, because corporate farms have become the major producers of much of the food, particularly the food that we export. And it was the export tariffs and the import tariffs China imposed on agriculture that triggered this money, which was funneled to the people who would otherwise lose business as the result of the reduction in sales to China. And so... You know, farmers is a term we use, and it always brings to our mind the classic mother and father farmers who have a home and a family and a family business. But the fact is that when you look at who is producing our agricultural output, most of those people are not farmers in that classical sense, but are corporate farms. But, you know, I think that he paid attention to rural America with respect to those billions because of the fact that he knew that they were in large part a base that was important to him politically. And so, you know, it's probably chicken and egg, but he responded to them quickly in the tariff world because he knew that these tariffs he was imposing were going to have a serious negative impact.
All right, let's go back to Tom quickly from L.A. Tom, go ahead.
Yeah, I honestly am trying to look at this through a different prism in terms of being a Trump supporter. So, you know, when Mark called up and said he's sick of me saying about the middle class, I'm just trying to get facts. So the thing is, I'd like to know, you know, like as an example, when they separated the children from their parents at the border and kind of sold them into slavery, was that a benefit? I don't know. All I'm asking is that, you know, what true benefits did he do for we the people, the middle class? I loved it when Mark called in because he started rattling off a bunch of stuff. I'm like, oh, wow, he did that. Oh, wow, he did that. But then I realized that he probably got that information from a right-wing media source, and he didn't actually give his source. So I'd love it if he called in and actually had a dialogue about each of those different things and for Sandy to be able to actually be able to communicate to him, you know, what is true and what is not true. I'd hate to think we wasted 4 years to just make the rich richer. And, you know, Donald Trump tried to adopt Bernie Sanders' policies, if I remember correctly, in the election in 2016 and take some of those Bernie voters away or take some of those other voters away. And he did. He was successful at it. And I'm just curious, did he really do anything that he even promised in the last election? I just see him redoing the thing again. Thank you.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for the call. You know, Sandy, what I want to do as we head towards the last segment of the show is open the phone lines again for those who support Donald Trump. and tell us about the things that he is promising this time around, Sandy, that you know or that you've heard as a supporter of Donald Trump, what you've heard from him that's going to benefit or change your life. We've heard the things that Joe Biden is proposing, Sandy, and many of us can rattle them off. But what is Donald Trump's plan? What has he promised to do for the average person this time around? 844-967-2789. Sandy's got a whole list of those things that he'll share with us.
Well, I don't actually. I didn't find a list of promises that Donald Trump has made, because his promises tend to be grand and general. Well, make America great again, right, is the primary one.
All right. 844-967-2789 is the number. We'll return.
Packed my bags last night, pre-flight, 0 hour, 9 a.m. And I'm gonna be high as a kite by then. I miss the earth so much, I miss my wife. It's lonely out in space on such a timeless flight.
All right, welcome back. You know, and that's one of my favorite records ever, Sandy. Rocket Man by Elton John.
Rocket Man.
Yeah, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Again, if you're just joining us, you know, we had promised that we would come on and talk about the accomplishments of former President Donald Trump, and we've done that. It's been a stretch, and people can't say that we didn't show some balance, because we certainly did. Again, let's go to the phone lines. Let's go to Don from Milwaukee. Hey, good morning to you, Don. You say what?
Good morning, gentlemen. I wanted to point out one thing. You know, the American dream always was to own a home. Now, under his so wonderful Trump tax cuts, he took a very valuable deduction away, and I know it helped me and my wife acquire our home. You had a mortgage. We had a big mortgage. You could deduct that off your taxes at the end of the year and get a pretty good deduction back from that. So I just wanted to bring that. I don't know if anyone's mentioned that yet or not, but I figured I should bring that to you. That is a fact. You'll find it out at the end of the year when you want to file your income taxes. That is a very valuable deduction to have. Tom, Dick, and Mary can realize the American dream of owning a home one day. That made it harder.
Hey, Don, thank you very much for the call. Sandy?
Well, also, the limitation on the deduction for property taxes paid you know, the standard deduction has become the norm rather than the unusual for homeowners. It used to be if you bought a home, you began to itemize your deductions because of the mortgage interest deduction and because of the property tax deduction. And as well in Wisconsin, the income tax deduction, which all of which benefited Tom, Dick, and Mary, and which is pretty much gone.
You know, Sandy, I asked before we took the last break about, you know, what Donald Trump is promising this time around. And if anybody could call in and give us, you know, their idea of what he's promised that he's going to do that's tangible, Sandy. As you stated outside of cliches, make America great again. What is something tangible that you can put your hands on that Donald Trump is offering to the average person that makes them want to vote for him, Sandy? And you know, clearly nobody's called because it's, I don't know if I haven't heard one thing. Have you?
Well, the things you hear are tend to be back channel. So, for instance, there's some think tanks that have put together the 2025 plan, but their plans don't involve benefits for Tom, Dick, and Mary. They involve things like attacking the administrative state and trying to whittle down the capacity of government to issue rules and regulations, many of which are designed to protect Tom, Dick, and Mary and get in the way of businesses and their capacity to operate freely and without constraints posed by government regulation. So, you know, the promises being made involve an awful lot of stuff that's kind of inside the beltway kind of concepts, most of which are running against government, okay, against the principle of having government operate and to mitigate the capacity of government to operate.
But again, those things aren't coming from the candidate himself. You know.
Well, the candidate ran for office in 2016 without talking about, other than grandly. I mean, he's told us that he was going to have a plan for health care that was far better than the Obamacare plan. And when he got elected, he would reveal it and it would get passed. Well, he never had a plan that was revealed. And it might be that he never had a plan, you know, so he made sort of grand promises in 2016. But you really have to look at what then was focused on in the administration itself. And the main promise that he delivered on were the Supreme Court appointments.
You know, Sandy, and it is and we have to look at it from the perspective of, you know, Donald Trump, if he won the election, he, like Joe Biden, would be a lame duck. Both guys would be lame ducks. And so unless by some miracle, you know, both guys are able to have both the House and the Senate, whatever it is that they're talking about is going to be hard to, in a divided Congress, it's going to be hard to get anything passed.
Well, I think what happens with lame ducks is, yes, it's hard for them possibly to get action taken by Congress, but their ability to do things unilaterally using their executive powers is unmitigated by fear of political repercussions because they're done with politics. And so it tends that in the last 4 years of a president's term, when he's serving a second term, they tend to issue lots of executive orders in the direction of the policy that they're interested in implementing. So I think the thing we need to be concerned about with Donald Trump is what are the powers of the presidency that he can exercise unilaterally, and what will he do with them if he exercises them without concern about political repercussions? And I think that there are many of them. We found out in his first administration the extent of his power over foreign affairs, over tariffs, for instance, tariff policies, and there are a number of areas in which he has currently contested Biden's capacity to issue executive orders. But I'm confident when he becomes president, he will become the most prolific executive order issuer that we have ever seen.
You know, Sandy, 844-967-2789. You know, we opened the door to this conversation. We've had it. I don't think there was anything surprising that I garnered from the conversation. They're clearly a two peoples going in different directions in this country. Those who support Donald Trump and those who support Joe Biden. And, you know, that's not going to change. And even Sandy, I think the part of this is depending on who wins, it's not going to change that divide in this country. It's such a broad chasm, Sandy, that, you know, I don't think it gets repaired after this election. How do we heal that wound, Sandy?
I don't know. I think a symptom of this chasm is the fact that there's now a bunch of publicity about how the Republican Party is recruiting 100,000 people to monitor elections across the country and to make sure that there is no election fraud. Now, number one, I have no problem. And everyone here in Wisconsin, everyone has said, well, we don't care how many people watch our election. There's no fraud. There will be no fraud. There has been no proof of any fraud in the past. But I think the fact that the Republican Party would exercise so much energy to get 100,000 volunteers to go out on this errand suggests the chasm we have in politics and the breach of trust we have, because these people must think they're going to find something. And the last election involved 65 or more lawsuits where absolutely nothing was found. In fact, to the extent that fraud has been uncovered, I think it was uncovered more frequently on the Republican side than it was on the Democratic side.
So truth be damned, they're going to do it anyway. Let's go to Bill from Oconomowoc. Good morning to you, Bill. You say what?
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I think it can be solved. I really do. I think you and Sandy are part of the solution. It's education. And here's exactly what I mean. The other day I got an argument with somebody on the far right. But when I get in a discussion with them, I kind of do it the way you do it with CJ, but I try and keep the temperature very low. And the discussion was inflation because of Joe Biden. And I said, well, that's a misnomer, and here's why. Inflation is because of big oil. Everything that's been inflated has to do with oil. Oil has gone up. If oil had gone way down, our prices would be way down. But yet they protect big oil. And when I say that to them, if I say, well, you protect big oil, I'll say, excuse me, you don't really protect big oil. You just believe big oil needs to be protected. I'm really convinced there's more than enough Republicans that can logically debate. And on what Sandy said with 100,000 people, if you see them in your polling area, go up and talk to them, but talk to them in a nice way. Mark from the SAC had some good ideas on how to talk to these people in a nice way. Don't challenge them. Don't try and get their hackles up. Say, what are you doing? And, you know, what have you found? And what do you know?
Thank you.
You know what I mean? I really believe you. Go ahead.
No, Bill, thank you. Thank you very much for the call. You know, Sandy, how do you begin to, as you stated earlier, 100,000 people are saying, yes, we volunteer. We're going to make sure that the votes are right. Never mind 4 years later, Sandy, there's no proof that the votes were wrong. And yet people, 100,000 people or more, are going to, you know, continue to take that lie and stretch it out even more.
Well, maybe these 100,000 people will become eyewitnesses to the fact, well, that it isn't true, and maybe this will be the end of it. Well, but it's remarkable that they would use so much energy.
Let's try to squeeze last couple of callers in. Lynn from Oconomowoc. Lynn, quickly.
Yes. Thanks for taking my call.
Quickly.
I remember reading about Trump's proposed across-the-board tariffs. It was in the New York Times, December 26, 2023, and proposing more tariffs on China's imports. And I shop at Walmart. Most of the goods are from China. And we have about a $758 billion trade between China and the U.S. So with more tariffs, wouldn't that be terribly inflationary?
Hey, Lynn, I wish I had more time. Thank you. Mark, you got the last of it. You say what?
Well, the accomplishments, as people say, of Trump putting in the Supreme Court justices, I don't see that as an accomplishment. He just took the people that were given to him by the Federalist Society and put them through. And it's not like he put in all this thought. If they would have had a different Republican elected, he still would have gotten three conservative justices. So I don't really look at that as an accomplishment.
Hey, Mark, thank you very much for the call. Sandy, thank you. It went well, as we knew it would. Hope you get better. I'll see you on Friday. Sandy, what?
Are we done?
Yeah, we're done.
We still have one more segment.
Oh, no. Oh, we've got another segment. Oh, I'm sorry.
And that's, I'm thinking. Hey. I think you're in. You're the one who's in warp speed here.
Yeah. You guys call back. We're gonna have that conversation. 844-967-2789. I'm trying to hurry up and get through. All right.
And I think it's going to be a long, long time. Shuffles in. There's an old man sitting next to me, making love to his tonic and gin.
He says, son, can you play? All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us that same number. I want to apologize to the last two callers. You can call back. I really thought we were at the end of the show. We want to continue the conversation, that we've been having. And so, yeah, you got a chance to, to finish your thought. Let's go to Eric from Wauwatosa. Hey, good morning to you, Eric. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. Good morning, Sandy. You're talking about successes and accomplishments and stuff like that. I figure, I'm not sure if you spoke about this before, but it was a big part of the term was immediately after taking office, his administration succeeded in disbanding President Obama's communicable disease task force. Like, who's going to need that anyways in the near future, right? And then, so that was one thing. And then he also succeeded in passing Paul Ryan. Let's be clear. This is Paul Ryan's dream tax cut, they called it, that benefited the large corporations, wealthy families. And thanks to Senator Rush Aran from here in Wisconsin, limited liabilities companies received a 20% tax cut on pass-through profits, which is 20% less revenues that the federal government is receiving from those pass-through LLCs. And then they also remember, let's not forget, they capped the property tax and mortgage interest write-off at $10,000, which with today's higher interest rates will have an even bigger negative impact on homeowners going forward. He managed to profiteer from his real estate businesses while in office instead of demanding that foreign leaders and other visitors stay elsewhere to eliminate the specter of wrongdoing. He invited them into his place so he can make profit off of it. I mean, what good would it have done if he didn't make money off the opportunity? So then he also succeeded in helping MBS evade responsibility for the murder and dismemberment of an American journalist. He succeeded in that. He also succeeded, in pitting red states versus blue states when COVID supplies were hard to come by to the point where, let's remember, governors were forced to literally protect their shipments of supplies from members of his administration commandeering said shipments on runways.
Hey, Eric.
He also negated, we talked about warp speed earlier, he negated any positive aspects of that by weaponizing vaccinations among his followers.
Hey, Eric, we got to cut you off there, man, and you need to be contacting the Biden administration. You do a pretty good job of that. let's go to Mark from Racine. Hey, welcome back, Mark. Your thoughts?
Hey, welcome back. The last gentleman said the other part that I was going to say is the tax cuts that Trump put through, not really his idea again. I wonder if the people who support him realize that these things like the Supreme Court nominees and the tax cuts, it's not like he's a policy wonk like Bill Clinton was, or, you know, somebody like Obama who, you know, had a degree from Harvard and was in government before he became the president. Or this guy went straight from reality show. He's just a figurehead who put through what other people wanted. So why he gets credit for these things, I guess when you're in. The other thing I wonder if the people point out to him is, like, people will say his economy was always good. It's like I say to those people, he inherited a growing economy. The difference between him and Biden is Biden inherited a colossal mess, the pandemic. Even if you don't blame Trump for that mess, it still was a mess that Biden had to clean up. Same thing with Obama. You know, he inherited a mess. It's not like these guys, it's not apples to apples when you compare presidencies. You know, you have a guy, FDR, you inherit the Great Depression. You can't give the same, it's not the same as somebody who becomes president during the Roaring 20s.
Well, I wish we had more time, Mark. Thank you very much. Thank you for sharing. Thank all of you for listening. We've got one more. Mr. B. Mr. B, your thoughts.
I just wanted to say, man, that you and Sandy are doing an excellent job, man. You know what I'm saying? Thanks for the education. You got me listening to your program, and that's kind of something hard to do. I hardly ever listen to talk shows.
Well, thank you very much, man. And the check is in the mail. I really appreciate it, Mr. B. Thank you. Sandy, as we bring this conversation that we've had over the last couple of weeks, you know, to a close for now, what are your thoughts?
Well, I think my thoughts are that, you know, each side will look at a candidate, will look at a four-year term, and will find things that are positive, and they'll polish those positives. And I think ultimately that the difference in this election not only is what is it that is positive, but also what is the candidate like? What is their character? What is their capacity to lead the country and to lead the country in an organized and non-chaotic fashion? And this election is an unusual election. It is not the norm. The Donald Trump is not a normal candidate. He is not a normal person to be situated in the White House. And he comes with a great deal of baggage that needs to be examined, okay? And, you know, people are readily examining the baggage of Joe Biden and Hunter Biden, but they don't give full credit to all of the baggage that comes with Donald Trump. And it's not limited to the court proceedings that he currently faces. You can look at the 4 years in office, the way it was operated, the chaos, the fact that we have almost every cabinet member in his cabinet who has now come out opposed to him. I mean, all these people who were close to Donald Trump, who are warning the nation about him, and they aren't warning them about his policies that we would list. They're warning us about him because of what they think he will do in his personal capacity as president.
Yeah, very well said, as always, Sandy. Man, get better. We'll certainly reconvene again on Friday. All right. Thank everybody who made the show go. As always, we really appreciate you guys taking the time out to listen to us. We're going to continue to do what we do. Thank you, Calvin, as always. Couldn't do it without you. Up next, Jane Matner, Matner on Air, and Greg Bott. Enjoy the weather. See you later. Sing us a song.